There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Hour number two on this Friday edition. By the way, thank you, Cheese Wagon, who gave us that heads up. Hopefully they get that cleared up soon. Crash westbound in the Wallace Tunnel. Those of you new around here, westbound, that means going to Mobile. Listen, after decades of radio here, I still do it. People are like, westbound, which way is that? If you're coming from Baldwin County, going to Mobile County, that's westbound. All right, and I mentioned, too, we're going to get this guy on the show. You hear him Sundays here at FM Talk 106.5, and he and I got to sit down and hang out a little bit the other day and enjoyed our conversation so much. I said, man, Josh, you got to come on Midday Show. You hear the show Coasting in Retirement with Josh Knoll. So from the show Coasting in Retirement with Josh Knoll, it's the eponymous Josh Knoll joining us now on Midday Mobile. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. And, remind folks, too, like, if they have not heard you on Sunday, tell them what is Coasting in Retirement? What happens on that show?
Coasting in Retirement, every Sunday on your station, FM Talk 106.5. Basically, we talk about all of the financial news, money topics, investing, retirement planning for folks that are in or near retirement, living their best life along our part of the Gulf Coast. So that's really the point of this show.
You know, and I told you when we sat down and talked, I said, I listened to Josh's show on the weekend, and I said, this may be a kindred spirit because he's about, like, the real world. It's not the hype, you know. It's like no hype. And I said, okay, no hype. He gets my attention. He talks about the real metrics that make things move for stocks. What's the deal? What's not? And I said, this guy has some insight here, and you've given a lot of it on your show, but I'm going to drag it, you know, out of you here as well because there's a lot going on in the markets this week. We can look at it as it sits right now. Dow's down, S&P's up, NASDAQ's up. It's kind of mixed here, and I want to talk about this week. But can you set the stage what you told me before? And I thought this was fascinating, y'all. When you hear news comes out and say, well, okay, what was it last week, week before last? Bank stocks are up. We get this big, oh, wow, the bank stocks are up. And you pointed out that the real reason the bank stocks were up, and that was an eye-opener for me.
Yeah, so last week we had a little bit of a run-up, somewhat unexpected in the market, and a lot of the tide that was carrying all the boats was around bank earnings. Bank earnings were just almost to a beat. Almost all the big banks beat all of their estimates, and it was really a function of two primary things. One, a lot of people got to remember when they're looking at bank earnings, especially those that have trading departments, banks love volatility. So, you know, we've had historical levels of volatility ever since COVID, but in particularly since the war started, the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of volatility. That is good. That is a profitable thing on both sides of the equation for the large investment banks. And then coupled with that is you had the part that probably took you by surprise, Sean, was a lot of them had significant layoffs. Morgan Stanley, I think, was somewhere over 2,500. Layoffs. Capital One, which kind of caught some people by surprise, they laid off well over 1,000. Bank of America laid off over 1,000. And most of them, whether they talk around the edges of it or they just come out and say it, they are using artificial intelligence as really the justification for the reduction in staff. And, you know, where the person that's looking for a job or is employed in any of these adjacent sectors, that may not sound like great news to you, from the investment standpoint, that's just string music. That's what a lot of investors en masse want to hear, is that there's more efficiencies, less people needed, higher profits. Consequently, you saw a pretty significant jump in bank stock valuations.
Hey, Josh, let me step in here for just a second. Sean is on remote. Looks like we're having a couple connection issues. So while you were answering that, he just disconnected. Dalton Norwood just sitting in for Sean for just a second. Josh, do you mind if can we take a quick break, get this connection fixed, and come back and finish this conversation between you and Sean?
Yeah, in my side, my connection is correct, right?
Yes, you're sounding good. Let me put you on hold. You're listening to Midday Mobile. We'll figure out this connection issue. Hey, who would have thought we could have a live streaming connection from California to begin with? Just a quick little bump here. We'll hit the break. We'll come right back and finish this conversation between Sean Sullivan and Josh Knoll on the way.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Got the hamsters running in the wheel the right way here on my end. And sorry about that, Josh. We got stopped there, but I was asking you on my end, and you probably answered some, but for me, not for the audience, for me, we'll go back and revisit this. So you're talking about the bank stocks, bank earnings coming in, looking real good. And then I was thinking, okay, like to an educated person, I'm like, well, then the banks must be doing a better job of doing banking stuff. And you said, well, there's more to the story.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where I got cut off, Sean. My previous answer was brilliant, so this one will just be average, if that's okay. So you're connecting from California. I'm actually connecting to you from New Orleans, so we're just all over the part here.
That's right.
But yeah, to answer your question, the banks right now, there's two things going in their favors. One is whenever there's a lot of volatility in the market, trading departments love volatility. They love it going up. They love it going down. That's where there's a lot of profit margins squeezed out. So you had that going towards earnings. And then you had banks using AI as somewhat of a justification for thousands of layoffs in 2026 so far. Morgan Stanley's had significant layoffs, Capital One, Bank of America, pretty big names. And if you were to just look at the profit statements and the earnings of these companies, you'd say, well, you would think they'd be hiring, not laying off, but they're actually going the opposite direction, because that's music that the investors of the holding the stock wants to hear.
Okay, my worry is this, and you're the educated one on this. I'm just a knee booter, but when Meta talks about the big layoffs again here, with them. But let's say on a bank stock, the profits are up because they're shrinking the workforce using AI. Isn't there a place where they can get to that they're not doing the job as well? Or will it be good? That's my worry. Like, you can cut, heck, I saw it in the broadcast business, the big players nationally, which we're independently owned, but big players nationally cut to make Wall Street happy, to the point they diminish the product so much that, yeah, they're still there. And for a couple quarters, the returns were good, but then they hit a point where they weren't doing that thing. They weren't making the widgets as good as they were before. Therefore, the profits then dropped after that. Does that affect bank stocks?
Well, I think, if you look at what happened to newspapers, Sean, there's probably more correlation with that part of the story where, a lot of people thought newspapers weren't profitable. That wasn't necessarily the case. They came in, they would squeeze profit margins. They would make them borderline unfunctional in some regards. I mean, just look at the Washington Post. They laid off their entire sports department, and now they're in the hunt for a sports editor to show you how sometimes some of the dumb money can get in on that side of the equation. But when it comes to the banks, I don't think we're anywhere near where they're trying to squeeze this thing, get more blood out of the stone, if you will. I think it's quite the opposite. Really, what they have learned is people got to remember that the CEO's job is to improve the stock price of his the company that he manages. And there is a certain element of monkey see, monkey do with all these guys. And when they see that all a company has to do is announce that we're having layoffs, and it's because we're being more efficient, and wink, wink, it's because we're utilizing AI to be more efficient, they're just going to go down that path, because they're immediately seeing boosts in their stock price, which affects their ultimate compensation. But no, I don't think you're going to see this become anything like what you saw with newspapers or radio, what the real danger is going to be is, does this become a contagion across other industries, my industry, banking, financial services, all that, where whether or not the justification for the job loss relative to the AI improvement is there or not, they do it anyway because it affects the bottom line with the stock price.
Yeah, and it is interesting to hear, you know, I mean, it makes sense once I hear you say it, but, you know, let's go old school view, company starts having layoffs, and then I would, as an investor, go, okay, well, they're not doing something correctly. They're not growing, right? So therefore, they're laying people off. I'm worried about that stock. But in a world of AI, and like you said, the market reacts, layoffs are positive news for a lot of these stocks. I mean, it does, for people who don't study it all the time like that and haven't thought about it recently, it's somewhat counterintuitive.
Oh, it's been this way for the last 3 or 4 years, Sean, where if you wanted to see an immediate, if you were a CEO and you wanted to see a relatively immediate pop in your stock price and you had a, you know, at least somewhat publicly visible company, all you had to do was announce layoffs. I mean, it kind of started with Meta, which is, most people would know that as Facebook, and then also with Twitter or X, what most people would know as Twitter. Both those companies announced significant layoffs, gosh, 3-ish years ago, and both saw immediate, well, public market for Meta and then the private market for X. So, no, I think this has been a trend for a while on the larger corporations, and it's not comforting if you're somebody that works in that environment that, you know, I don't know how, if you ever had a, you know, quote-unquote real job in corporate world, Sean, but a million years ago I worked at a telecom, and they did similar things where they just had multiple rounds of layoffs in order to boost the stock price. So maybe I'm a little bit jaded from that time period, but it's definitely a tool that is used. Sometimes it's used just to simply boost the stock price, and sometimes we are still somewhat cleansing through a monstrous hiring that happened, you know, kind of post-COVID with a lot of these companies. There's a combination of factors.
Okay, let's do this. Let's run to a break here. I want to come back because I want to talk about what's happening this week in the market and see if there's, you know, what the levers being pulled are that make that happen. Coming back with Josh Knoll, coasting in retirement. Hear him here on Sundays, but it's fun to have him on Midday Mobile today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Let me agree with Rita from the text line here, who said, hey, Dalton, you just stepped in much better than AI would have. Absolutely. We're all about some human beings at FM Talk 106.5. Just getting some insight here from our buddy Josh Knoll, coasting in retirement. Hear him on Sundays. Josh, I've got about 6-7 minutes here left. I want to ask you about this week in the markets. And, you know, we could talk about oil prices and maybe driving more of the market, but it's been interesting to watch market go, okay, we're up today. It's great today. Now we're down the next day. We're up today. What's happening?
Well, I mean, on a high level, Sean, basically investors are kind of looking past the war. They're expecting a positive outcome. Yeah, there's been days of volatility, but I mean, we're back to all-time highs again. And, you know, just from a 30,000 foot view, what it appears is that investors are really just looking beyond the war for better or worse. We'll see if that proves true. Now, specifically for this week, you got kind of two interesting things going on. One, the price of oil, more often than not, the price of oil was kind of positively correlated with the overall stock market, but particularly with this war, it's been inversely. And what I mean inversely is just, as oil has gone down in price, the market went up. When oil went up in price, the market went down, almost in a one-to-one step, if you will. You don't necessarily normally see that. And then, two, you had kind of this week, you had a lot of semiconductors making their quarterly profit statements, and Intel not coming back from the dead, but coming back from a pretty bad beatdown over the last couple of years. Intel just smashed their earnings. And really, we're, again, kind of like last week, the bank earnings were kind of the rising tide that lifted the stocks. This week, it's a lot of these
NVIDIA's having a great run, had great reports, AMD. And then Intel was kind of the little Hail Mary curveball that no one saw coming, or at least I didn't, that came back with huge earnings and just a really positive outlook around their CPUs. So it's interesting. That's what's led. So that's a big reason on what's going on. It, by all appearances, the investors are looking beyond the war. And then on a smaller level, you had really positive returns from a lot of American-based chip manufacturers.
We start our conversation off with AI and banking here. What about as a sector? We talk about how much of that has driven growth in the stock market. Does that, just, you know, not asking you to make a recommendation for, but you're feeling just as Josh Noel, the dude. I mean, is that now the driving force? Is that now what moves? Because you talked about semiconductors and all that, the infrastructure, but what about the technology side of this?
Well, I mean, right now, everything circles back to artificial intelligence as far as it relates to the stock market. I mean, there's really no corner to hide from it. And so the chips, you know, a big reason why they had such positive results is all related to the continuing massive investment. When the normal person hears CapEx, that's a reference for capital expenditures. That's for companies, any company, but specifically around the Magnificent Seven. So you got Google, Meta, Amazon, so on and so forth, where they are spending billions upon billions of their cash flow, typically free cash flow. They're not going into debt to do this, into AI infrastructure, databases, all that kind of stuff. That is what is. I don't know the percentage, Sean, and I always hold that 86% of statistics are made up on the spot anyway. But the overall market increase, and this has been for several months, has been around this hope and that AI is going to do everything that it says it's going to do, have the adoption, have the profitability, have all these things. So that's, you know, the chip manufacturers, whereas NVIDIA is a huge, I mean, I think they just topped $4 trillion in total value right now. They are all related to the enthusiasm and the hope around how this artificial intelligence thing plays out.
So it's, you know, and I guess it just, is it having, you know, what I'm saying, I wonder if it's having its 15 minutes of fame, or it's the new, you know, it's going to be the new oil. You know, it's oil, like you just mentioned, oil drives stocks that aren't even specifically tied to oil. Will AI be that going forward, not just for a quarter or two quarters? Is it going to go there for long term?
Well, if you can answer that, Sean, you and I could make a lot of money.
Oh, good. We'll have to.
I have a partner on the show. Yeah, I got a partner in the show called My Crystal Ball. You know, that is the trillion-dollar question right now. The main thing that the investors listening need to know, Sean, is there's always going to be the next thing. There's always going to be an over-exuberance in building out the next thing. There's always going to be a cleansing process when the chickens come home to roost with the next thing. You know, what they don't want to do is just sit on the sidelines and have just complete fear of all this, because it's going to go cyclical. But if you believe in the future of the United States economy, generally speaking, everything tends to go up and to the right over time. You just need time.
True that. All right, Josh, as always, man, I appreciate our conversations. This one happened to be on the air, and I can't wait to check you out on Sunday and come back and talk to us soon.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
All right, Coasting in Retirement, check it out on Sundays here at FM Talk 106.5 with that man right there, Josh Noel. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Back, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. A good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And let's talk some inventory here, looking at the weekend.
Inventory's good. We're busy today. We've already sold three this morning. So we obviously have a good selection. And we got another truck that's still on its way here, hadn't made it yet. So we've got about 70 on the ground, trucks, cars, SUVs, small SUVs, anything you're looking for. Now's a good time to come check us out.
Also, we hadn't talked about this in a while, but I thought a good time to revisit this. When people come, and you actually encourage this, I know as one of your customers, if they come get a vehicle, you're cool with them taking, number one, taking it for their test ride or taking it home for the night, but also taking it to, if they got their mechanic, the person they've always used, you're like, yeah, take that car there.
We encourage it. I mean, we've already checked them out as best we can on our end. So, yeah, we'd love for them to have another set of eyes on it just to make sure everything's good. Nobody missed anything.
I like that, too. Just another layer of, you know, confidence in doing business with you, like I do. So, yeah, okay, folks want to check out
contracts, too, you know. I mean, we can get warranties on some of these cars out for 5-6 years. So that helps.
Okay, you've talked to me about that before. How does that work? If somebody comes in and you go, okay, I like this car, this truck, whatever I'm getting, how do you do that extended? How does that work?
Well, it's on top of whatever the price is, of course. But if you come in and you buy, the warranties that we sell are the same warranties that most of your franchise dealers around here are using. So if you come in and you buy a new GM or GMC from us and it's got a 3-5 year warranty on it and something happens to it, you take it back to the GMC dealer, your local GMC dealer here in Mobile, or you can take it back to the local Ford dealer. You don't have to bring it back to us to have it done.
I like that. All right, tell folks how to come see you in person. And, you know, I keep saying, but the website, man, is easy to navigate, and it's, you know, populated with new vehicles, like, constantly.
Yeah, the website, lcmmotorcars.com. You can communicate with us back and forth. You come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A, the third red light on your left. And give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Hey, thanks, David.
Have a good weekend, bud.
Hey, you too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. We'll grab a couple texts here and some stories to get to as well. Let's see if we can get, trying to get caught up here. Yeah, Andy from Baldwin sent me the story about SPLC looking for a, I guess that came out yesterday. Looking for a new CEO, $500,000 salary. Let's see, Derek. Here, Derek says Platinum is being slept on. You know, that's a real interesting conversation, though. I mean, that's what Ron started telling us about that years and years ago. It helped me understand, because I look at precious metals and I realize I really didn't understand the whys of them, you know, gaining value, dropping value. I just didn't get it. And then I started asking about platinum and palladium, and then he said, well, look at the car industry. And then it kind of made sense to me. He said, if you think we're going to be building more new vehicles, they're going to need either platinum or palladium, and they're going to use one till the price goes up high enough. Like, let's say platinum goes up too high, then they go to palladium. Palladium price gets too high, they go back to platinum. That's stuff I could understand. And, you know, it's, and listen, you go by and see Ron, you'll get a full education on all that and a whole lot more. Let's see. Catch up with this. Let's see. Jason, Sean, did you see where the shooter of the guy that was shot 7 times in the back was given bond? The judges are broken and have to be held accountable. It's sickening that this POS can be bonded out before the family can get their loved one buried. This should fire everyone up. And what it does is possibly take, what does it possibly take to get no bond? I got to sit on this for a second, but there's something coming pretty soon we're going to talk about on the show, what's going to be done here in Alabama. Let's see. Nick B. said, here's some anecdotal insight you could do with as you please. I have people working at both Meta and Amazon data centers as we speak. In 15 years that I've been in the staffing industry, I've only seen a few other projects get built with as much urgency as these companies. Those other projects were all casinos. Therefore, Meta and Amazon, like the casinos, know that every day they're not open is a day with millions of dollars they're not capturing. I can't quite wrap my head around how the AI will make them so much more profitable, but apparently they have it all mapped out. Yeah, and there's Meta, I mean, themselves, you know, letting a bunch more people go. And speaking of the casino, okay, let's see, speaking of the casino and the online conversation, this one, breaking yesterday, I don't know if you heard this, you know, we talk about Polymarket. You've got the, I think eventually, you know, you've got the different, Kalshi and Polymarket, two of the biggest ones here. I think there's going to be an Amazon effect where there's going to be left with one. Meaning this, I said in the past, like, I'd buy stuff online and I go to different different places to buy different things. Let's go back 10 years ago. And I would, go over this site to buy fishing tackle, this site to buy hunting stuff or something, to gardening stuff over here. By default, I go to Amazon if I'm not shopping locally. If it's something I can't get locally, I'm going there. In other words, they took over all the, instead of going to multiple sites, which still exist, they're selling their stuff through there. I think in the gambling world, sports gambling, and now we have prediction markets, are all going to be bunched into what, there's going to be, for lack of a better term, an Amazon of prediction, and that prediction could be political, that prediction could be sports, it could be whatever. It will be ended, there'll be maybe a side player, but there'll be one dominant here when this is done. So speaking of that, so the poly market discussion, did you see this? And this is what can happen, and it did happen. This came out from DOJ, justice.gov, posted yesterday. U.S. soldier charged with using classified information to profit from prediction market bets. Gannon Ken Van Dyke, which is a hell of a name, but Gannon Ken Van Dyke allegedly made more than $400,000 trading on poly market on the basis of classified information regarding the timing of a U.S. military operation to capture Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. And this is something that even maybe Nancy Pelosi or others in Congress would be jealous of. This is talking about using insider information. Said the Justice Department announced the unsealing of an indictment that charges Gannon Ken Van Dyke, a U.S. Army soldier, with unlawful use of confidential government information for personal gain, theft of non-public government information, commodities fraud, wire fraud, and making an unlawful monetary transaction. The charges arise, here it is, from an alleged scheme in which Van Dyke used sensitive classified information to make wagers on Polymarket, a prediction marketplace. As alleged in the indictment, Van Dyke participated in the planning and execution of the U.S. military operation to capture Nicolas Maduro, called Operation Absolute Resolve. So here we got, I'm sure he's in intelligence, Army intelligence. He's part of the planning of this mission, right? So he's doing this, at least the allegation is here. And he used the classified information about the operation to personally profit. Van Dyke will be presented today to the U.S. Magistrate Brian Myers in the Eastern District of North Carolina. The case has been assigned to the U.S. District Judge Margaret M. Garnett in the Southern District of New York. The quote here, this is from DOJ, our men and women in uniform are trusted with classified information in order to accomplish their mission as safely and effectively as possible, and are prohibited from using this highly sensitive information for personal financial gain. Widespread access to prediction markets is a relatively new phenomenon, but federal laws protecting national security information fully apply. So let your brain, and there's more to the story, you can find it, it's online, but let your mind run with this one. Okay, in this specific case, I mean, you think about the analogs here. You can talk about insider trading, right, from regular citizens or people in the know, or family members or members of Congress, how something's going to move. And bring into that the old idea of throwing a fight from the boxing world, right? Or what's been alleged in the NBA. Think about this danger of this. So in this case, the allegation here is this, I think he's intelligence, it doesn't say it, but it sounds to me like Army intelligence agent Van Dyke, had information, the allegation is, had information about how Operation Absolute Resolve was going to go, to go down there to get Maduro. It makes bets that we're going to go get Maduro, which, I mean, you're getting crazy odds on, right? Because nobody knew that was going to happen. You're getting crazy odds on that and profits, $400,000 in this trade. Now think about this. If you're a member of Congress, the good old-fashioned way to make a decision how are you going to vote on something is what the lobbyist told you to do. But in this world, think about this. If you know you're the deciding vote on whatever bill, something's in front of Congress, right? It's whatever, and they need your vote. You can go ahead and make a bet and a play that something won't pass and not vote for it, or make a play that something will pass and you vote for it. That instead of having to get the money from the lobbyist, you're getting it from yourself. Think about that. Think about maybe, and this is really a dark place, but I got my mind thinking as well, if you were in the military scheme, in the military world, scheming for a mission, right, putting something together, and you had access through yourself personally or, secondary or tertiary agent, so it didn't come right back to you, of would we attack or not attack a place? Would we hit this thing, this target or not that target? And you could make a decision, not based on military strategy or the right thing to do. You make that decision because you laid up a bunch of money here on a poly market, whether, because the poly markets will take bets on stuff like, will we hit the so-and-so building in this theater of war? I mean, you can have those kind of bets and then, you know, get action from other people on this. I don't know how we're going to deal with this stuff. I mean, there's so much going forward. I go, you know, we talk about the AI question, but this one is just basic. If you have information in the past, if you had information about a military operation, hopefully you respected your oath and never said anything, but there was no way to go out and make a check on this. But in this situation, as it's laid out here, this person did. You go to the poly market, you have an ability to pull the lever or not pull the lever or know something about the poly markets or about the mission and go put money on Kalshi or poly market or somewhere like that. I don't know where we're going with this. I really do. Let that sink in for a second. That you could go not just taking a vote for the right or the reason the lobbyist told you, which is horrible as well, but that's been part of the system. But you vote for or not for something, or you authorize missions or don't authorize missions because you've put money in prediction markets. Now, you'll say, well, did you find them out? They found this guy out. Sure. But there's probably ways to conceal who's doing the play, right? There's ways to have anonymity, maybe through different agents or using virtual systems here to make plays that it doesn't come back to you. It is like hearing this indictment against this member of the Army here Pandora's box has been ripped open and the hinges are broken, in my opinion. It says here, Van Dyke has been an active duty soldier in U.S. Army stationed at Fort Bragg, military base located in Fayetteville, North Carolina. In connection with his work, Van Dyke signed non-disclosure agreements in which he promised to, quote, never divulge, publish, or reveal by writing, words, conduct, or otherwise any classified or sensitive information, end quote, relating to military operations. Said starting around December 8th, 2025, and continuing through at least January 6th, Van Dyke was involved in the planning and execution of Operation Absolute Resolve, a military operation to capture Maduro, and had access to sensitive, non-public, classified information about that operation. How many people are we talking about? This guy is not the only one that gets this kind of information through all kind of tentacles of our government. It says here, in 2025, Polymarket at Prediction Marketplace, began offering binary event contracts related to whether certain events involving Venezuela and or Maduro would or would not occur. Those event contracts included the future likelihood of, quote, U.S. forces in Venezuela, end quote, by certain dates, and the future likelihood of Maduro being out or out of or removed from power by certain dates, the future likelihood of the U.S. invading Venezuela by or on a date, January 31st, and the future likelihood of President Trump, quote, invoking war powers against Venezuela, end quote, by a certain date. Said on December 26th, so I guess we're still picking up, wrapping paper from Christmas. They said December 26th, Van Dyke created a Polymarket account, funded it, and began trading on Maduro and Venezuela-related markets. In total, Van Dyke made approximately 13 bets from the 27th of December through the evening of January 26th. Those bets all took the yes position on U.S. forces in Venezuela by January 31st, 2026, Maduro out by January 31st, 2026, and will the U.S. invade Venezuela by January 31st, or Trump invokes the war powers against Venezuela by January 31st. Those are the different bets. Van Dyke bet approximately $33,034 on those outcomes while in possession of classified non-public information about Operation Absolute Resolve. So there's how he did it. Now, you'd say easier here because that guy, you can go, hey, you have the account, you place the bet, there's the money, it's a direct. But what if people get a little more creative? Like using a virtual network or a proxy out there to make those bets for them. I mean, that should scare all of us out there. We'll talk about it more when we come back here. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. This is Midday Mobile. Make your bet. Place them. Let's go.
listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106. This from Michael. Every war for all of history has been about the enrichment of the victors. Polymarket is no different. Okay, well, then Chris said, did you hear Trump's reaction to it? I'd forgotten about that. The Pete Rose thing, yes. So this is bothersome as well because it's this idea, you know, the Pete Rose, if you bet that your team's going to win, it should be okay. It said when the president was asked yesterday about the indictment of Master Sergeant Van Dyke, the president inquired whether Van Dyke had bet for or against Maduro's ouster. When informed that the soldier predicted Maduro would be ousted, Trump compared it to a baseball player, Pete Rose, betting that his team would win. He said, that's like Pete Rose betting on his own team, Trump said. Now, if he had bet against his team, that would be no good, but he bet on his own team. No, it's not. It's not okay. It's not okay because if you're going to say you can take classified information and make a play on it, as long as it's absolutely myopic to say that because it's going to influence things to happen that maybe wouldn't happen. Okay, how about this? Say you're in a situation like, I think the whole thing's bad, but to argue like narrowly here, narrow argument would be, okay, well, he's betting on his own team. But let's say you were in this Master Sergeant, you were some way in control of a mission going or not going, and you have a situation where you've bet a lot of money in this poly market on this thing happening, and something on the ground changes, right? Five divisions of Cuban soldiers come in to reinforce Maduro's thing. You hear that the Russians have come in with some bit different, you know, because you didn't bet that the win, you know, one of the bets was specifically just that there would be U.S. military action against Maduro. Well, you got all this money tied up in it, but the information coming to you changes. And now you would be, if you were smart, you go, hold off on the mission. We're going to go cold on this right now until we figure out, you know, we got new intelligence coming in that's telling us like this. We're not going to do that. But wouldn't you just, if you had this in financial incentive, maybe be a little more leaning on the side, we can still do it. I know that the information on the ground's changed. Now, we had the whole mission study because there's X number of people defending this compound. But I think we can do this. It's horrible. And the same thing if this goes into votes in Congress, which is, has happened more often than something like this story. But think about that. I'm not naive, that votes in Congress are taken by members of Congress that aren't always just what's in their heart or their constituents' best, what's best for their constituents. There's other forces working, but not all the time. Can you imagine being a member of Congress, not just that effect where they know what's going to pass, so they buy or sell certain stocks, okay? Because that involves, you know, buying an equity, selling something like that, that has an easier track, you know, way to track, which we still don't do anything about. But think about if they could bet whether a bill passes or not. The decision of a bill that might influence the life of your family passes or not passes because they're that deciding vote, but they've laid off a bunch of money over here in a poly market to make a lick if something happens or not, and they are the person that can make that decision go one way or another. It's a bad road to go down, y'all. Bad road. All right, we'll do this again on Monday. Paul Feinbaum Show comes your way in just a few here. And a reminder, too, if you don't have the FM Talk 106.5 app yet, take a little time on a Friday to go ahead and pick it up. It's over at the App Store for Apple users or iPhone users. And if you're on that Android game like me, go to Google Play. Either place, look for FM TALK 1065 and download the app today. All right, y'all have a great weekend.